This is Upstate's HealthLink on Air, Linda Cohen along with you. The overall cesarean section rate in the United States has increased from just under 21% of all deliveries in 1996 to nearly 33% in 2011, according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. But if you've had one, does that mean you must deliver that way for the next baby? Here with more on this is Heather Shannon, certified nurse midwife and the director of academic midwifery program on the community campus of Upstate Medical University. Welcome, Heather. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you, Linda. Good to see you.
So first, help us understand, what is this vaginal birth after cesarean? It's also kind of known as a VBAC?
Correct. VBAC, which stands for vaginal birth after cesarean, which means that a woman who has had a prior cesarean section delivery, as long as she is a candidate, is able to have a trial of labor and attempt a vaginal delivery. So they call it VBAC, vaginal birth.
So basically, as in any labor, it's hard to know if that's going to work. So there's always the option, it seems, being held out, that they still may then have to have a cesarean section.
That is correct.
And a certain percentage, probably a pretty high percentage, still do have to go on to have a cesarean section.
There's certain criteria that women would have to meet in order to be a candidate for a vaginal birth after cesarean section.
Let's talk about that. What makes you one a good candidate?
Most important is we need to make sure that we know where the scar is on the uterus. So a transverse scar.
Which means
that...
Horizontal,
correct. A horizontal scar on the uterus, which has always been written in the operative note. So we can get those records to determine what type of scar was placed on the uterus.
I think that's an important point, though, because I read somewhere it's not necessarily what you see on the outside of your belly, so to speak, because that may be a different type of scar than actually was done inside on the uterus.
Correct.
So you can't know that by looking yourself.
Correct. No, you have to know through the operative note from the surgeon who performed the surgery.
Okay. So then a transverse uterine incision rather than the classical one, I guess, which is vertical, like a T-shape one. Right.
The T shape is definitely contraindicated, which means you have both a vertical and a transverse incision. There is a possibility that if you do have a vertical scar that you may be a candidate, but you need to have that conversation with your provider at the time that you discuss VBAC.
Right, and I think we'll continue to remind listeners, obviously, that that's all of this needs to be discussed very, very carefully in a case-by-case basis with your own physician.
Correct.
But so what are some of the other things that might make you a candidate to try it?
Your willingness, your interest in wanting to try a vaginal birth after cesarean section. Obviously, this is your choice and your decision, and also being a healthy woman with medical complications such as diabetes, maybe obesity, if you have problems with your labors where there's a problem with your pelvis.
In other words, it's not large enough or some other issues there.
Correct, that you are not able to pass a baby through your pelvis. That will risk you out of being a candidate.
How about if you've ever had any other kind of uterine surgery?
Depending on the uterine surgery and where it was located. Obviously, if you've had some major uterine surgery, you are most likely not a candidate for a VBAC. However, if you have had maybe a fibroid removed on the outside of your uterus, there's a possibility that this is okay for you to try.
So that won't throw you out of the ballpark,
does not necessarily throw you out. And again, it's a conversation you need to have with your provider.
I also read somewhere that it's crucial, if you're going to consider this, that there must be a physician on site who can monitor your labor and, if necessary, perform an emergency C-section, and also an anesthesiologist as well.
Correct. We need to have a team of specialists who are able to handle an emergency situation. Midwives are very capable of monitoring your labor and determining anything that's in the abnormal or that turns abnormal with your labor. And then we seek our obstetrician surgeon to evaluate you and determine what are the next steps. Do we need to proceed with a C-section, or are you stable enough to continue with your labor?
So basically, there's got to be an obstetrician on site, somewhere on site, who is capable of performing an emergency C-section if you're going to consider this
Correct.
Vaginal delivery.
As well as an anesthesiologist right. in-house, yes.
So on the whole, is it safe to try?
It is safe to try as long as you are a candidate and that you have the reassurance of the safeties that each hospital will offer, that such as the anesthesiologist, as well as the surgical team, as well as an obstetrician, immediately available. And according to American College of OBGYN, immediately available is immediately available. So within the hospital that you have to be there.
So what are the signs that you would look for that would make you think, let's say a woman has begun a trial of labor, what are the kinds of things you would look for? What signs of distress, for example, with the infant or the newborn or the mother? Are those the determining factors?
Usually the biggest sign and the earliest sign that we see during a VBAC attempt or a trial of labor, they call it a TOLAC, a trial of labor after a cesarean called a TOLAC, is fetal distress. That is the first sign.
And that's
being monitored, yes. When a mom goes in for a VBAC or a TOLAC, I should say, she is on the monitor continuously, so we can take a close look at the contractions as well as the baby's heart.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Upstate's HealthLink on Air. I'm Linda Cohen. I'm here with Heather Shannon. She's a certified nurse midwife, and we're talking about the safety of a vaginal birth after cesarean section. So what factors, Heather, might work against you? In other words, when you're making this consideration, what are the kinds of things that might work against your having a successful VBAC?
Well, some of the risks are advanced maternal age. If you are an older woman having maybe your first VBAC, there's some risks involved being older.
Is that because the uterus is not as flexible, pliable?
Muscle tone has a lot to do with it. And also there's some other health conditions. As we get older, we have higher blood pressure. Maybe we're at a higher risk for diabetes. So advanced maternal age, which by definition, it's greater than 35. It doesn't always seem fair, but 35 and older is considered.
Especially these days with so many women waiting to have babies. But
yes.
Okay, that makes sense. How about things like your BMI, your weight?
If you are obese, you are at a higher risk of not being successful to have a VBAC, as well as if you go past your due date. So if you go past 40 weeks, you will have an increased risk of, should we say, failure or lack of success. And also, if you have short intervals between pregnancies, so if it's less than a year between the last pregnancy, then the scar is still pretty fresh from when you had the C-section, and there's a greater chance that you would not be successful.
So overall, what I'm hearing is, no matter what, if you've had a cesarean section, and you're contemplating on this next pregnancy to have a vaginal birth, you really have to have a very long and extensive conversation with your obstetrician to make sure that A, you're a candidate, and B, the center you're going to can really manage it, handle it, and is willing to give you that TOLAC, that trial.
Exactly. And this conversation should be written as well as verbal. So you should have both information that is written as well as verbal, or at least be guided to resources like the American College of Obstetrics and Gynecologists in order to understand your success and also the risks involved.
Speaking of risks, you did mention to me that, there are things that can go wrong, but what exactly are the major risk with an attempt?
The major risk is uterine rupture, which means that the scar where the previous C-section had taken place opens during your labor. And it's actually less than 1%. It's about 0.5% if you should go into spontaneous delivery. So it's 99.5% will be successful in not rupturing their uterus. But less than 1% has the risk.
And is there a danger then to the baby
there
and the mother?
There is a danger, and it's an extreme danger, a life and death situation. And this is where we need to have our emergency services in place at the hospital. So the hospital has to have a clear plan to handle an emergency situation such as this.
Is there also a risk of infection if you have to have a C-section after you've had a trial of labor?
Yes, there is
greater risk.
There is a greater risk of infection as well as injury to your insides from the surgery, as well as hemorrhage, possible bleeding, and more scar tissue being developed on the uterus.
I guess what comes to mind for me is, so how does a physician, or what physicians, how do they feel about them? I mean, your experience as a certified nurse midwife, you're working hand in glove with these physicians. Generally, how do they feel about this trial of labor?
There are mixed feelings out in the community. There are some who really support VBAC, a TOLAC, a trial of labor, and then there's some who that's not part of their practice, and they have the opportunity to refer these patients who are interested in a trial of labor and proceeding with a VBAC to those providers who will provide VBAC services.
You know, so many women have heard of the term midwife. I mean, it's been around for centuries, but I think today's midwife is not like your grandmother's midwife. So tell us about what it means to be a certified nurse midwife.
That's right. Today's midwife is not like your grandmother's midwife. Wives, we are one of the oldest professions in the world, and we've practiced all over the world. I mean, we're documented in the Bible, and we are known for obstetrical care. Over the past century, actually, we have made a transition where midwives are now providing care that's outside of obstetrics. We are now considered full-scope OBGYN providers. So we take care of women throughout the life cycle, from adolescence to menopause and beyond, and we see everything in between.
With what types of issues?
We take care of women who have family planning issues. Maybe they want to get pregnant, maybe they don't want to get pregnant, so we can help them with those decisions. If they have some common women's complaints of irregular periods, painful periods, pelvic pain, maybe some breast abnormalities, or if they have problems with their hormones, we are able to evaluate them and provide medication, hormone replacement therapy.
Do you always work under a physician?
No, New York State does not allow us or does not require us to work under a physician.
So you are licensed by New York State to work independently.
Correct, and certified, and we are independent primary care providers for women occur under federal law.
So now you work along during a labor and delivery, you'll work with a physician, but basically you can have your own practice of patients. Very quickly, I don't want to run out of time. Where are you located and how would someone find a certified nurse midwife?
We are located up at the community campus in the physician office building north on the fourth floor. You can go online and look us up and call for an appointment.
And we'll have a link on our website to that. Heather, thanks so much. My guest has been Heather Shannon, certified nurse midwife and the director of academic midwifery program on the community campus of Upstate Medical University.